Well, I think the common theme today seems to be the word hope. I've heard it in different songs and different words that have been given. We have hope. I'm just going to move this back a bit. What really matters going forward? When you think about your life and what's to come, what really matters? When we were looking at who would preach for this day, for the grad service, Pastor Wes had asked me to do this, and I thought, yes, awesome! I get to tell Ashley lots of things. But you know what? As I started to study, and I thought, oh man, there's a lot that I need to learn too. Grads, I address this to you today, but you know what, congregation? There's a lot in this, a lot of meat that God's given us to listen to today that I hope that you put into practice as well. Philippians is the book of the Bible that we're going to turn to this morning. And as we look into this book, I want to give you some context of what is actually happening in the life of Paul, who wrote Philippians. When it's happening in the Bible times is if you go back to Acts chapter 16 and verse 16 to 23, where we read about Paul and Silas, and they're doing ministry in Philippi. And there's this dynamic encounter with a demon-possessed fortune teller. And it saw her delivered by the power of God. See, the Bible says directly, when the owners of the slave girl realized that they couldn't make any more money on her, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And they were found guilty, this is quite funny, of throwing the city in an uproar by advocating for customs that were unlawful for Romans to accept or practice. Wow, that's a good one. So Paul and Silas delivers this lady, and she's set free, but then they're brought before the courts and found guilty, flogged, thrown into prison, and the jailer was told to guard them carefully. So here we find Paul sitting in prison and is chained in stocks and is trying to write this letter to the city of Philippi. So I thought, we got to find out where in the world is Philippi. And basically, the city of Philippi was a major city in Macedonia, which was north of Greece. And nowadays, if you know your geography, which generally I don't, I have to look at all the maps and figure it all out. It's basically where Bulgaria is today. In this city, Philippi, was considered a retirement destination for many former Roman soldiers. The city prided itself in the civic life being modeled after that of Rome. When we turn to Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 3 to 7 and 9 to 11. The words are up here, but follow along in your Bibles if you have it. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and no matter where I am or what I'm doing, all of you sharing God's grace with me. And some of our key verses today, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. It's not hard to change your life to make room for God every day. It's not hard to change your life to make room for God every day. I want to look at those verses again. And what I did was, I want to break it all down, maybe into more common everyday language. So I did a little rewriting, and I want you to, you can follow along in your Bibles or on the screen again, and take little notes. See how I've written this, because grads, this is my prayer for you, and church family, this is our prayer of blessing today. Now, if you want, I'm going to sort of say it in a prayer language as I'm praying to God. I'm going to have my eyes open, and you don't have to close your eyes. But follow along. God, I am thankful for these graduates here. And every time I think about each one, I am so thankful to you for them. I am happy to pray for them because they are people who want to make a difference in people's lives. A lot of them want to be part of your ministry here at SPA and where they're going so that they will see others walk and grow with Jesus. See, they've already been a part of ministry here, so it's easy for them to do as they walk and live their life out. And you know what? I am so confident, God, that you're going to continue to do great things through them because you're the one who started it all. And I know that you will always finish what you start. Grads, it's right for me to feel this way about you, since I'm your pastor
and your mother.
And because we share Christ and his relationship with each of us. And most important, this is all of our prayer, that your love for Christ will keep on growing. That it won't just be head knowledge, but a heart knowledge of knowing Christ. In the book of Philippians, we read where Paul explains that the real goal of life is, he says, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Grads, I hope you get that, knowing who Jesus is. May you know that everything else is worthless when you just compare it with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus. May you personally have daily experiences with God the Father. That's through listening, obeying, and doing all that God wants, even when it's hard. And even when your will says, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. And I pray that you grow in knowledge, not just in your studies at school. We hope for that. But also in your Bible reading, in your time with the Lord, that you will be able to tell what is good and evil. Because it's not hard to change your life to make room for God every day. And this is going to help you when you think about taking a shortcut. God, please don't let them get sidetracked or take shortcuts to you. May they find your direct path. And may this path be followed without question so that they can passionately live pure and blameless lives with no mix of evil. Let there be no yin and yang here. And when they follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, remind them that you are always there. You're like this inner compass that they'll always know where to go, where they can find you. Grads, know that there's nothing wrong with living a God-honoring, holy life. God would not be offended at that. And remember, you can do all things, not some things. You can do all things through Christ because he gives you strength. So keep in step with him. And always, oh God, may they do their best to live a lifestyle full of choices that reflect that they have been with Jesus. Because we need people to stop and take notice. We need people to glorify God. And that's a great model for your life. Determine now that you want people to notice that you have been with Jesus today and every day that you live. Because everything else is worthless compared to knowing Christ. And this is what I pray for you, graduate, today. And for you, congregation, that you would live your life by this prayer of blessing. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Always do your best to live a lifestyle full of choices that reflect that you have been with Jesus. Long time ago, I found some quote, and I thought, oh, that's like a life motto. I love that. And it was, I want people to know that I have been with Jesus. That's a great motto to go by. Well, if we go back to the story, okay, of how all Philippians is coming together, it's kind of back in Acts. I know it's kind of confusing, but that's when it was written. If we go back, the next verse talks about that God had allowed a violent earthquake to shake the foundations of the prison. And this made the prison's door fly open, prison doors fly open, and everyone's chains to come loose. And the Bible goes on to say that Paul led the jailer to the Lord that day along with his entire household. See, he did his best to live a lifestyle of choices that reflected that he was with Jesus. He had been with Jesus that day and every day. And before Paul and Silas left Philippi, the entire city knew about them, and a church was established, praise the Lord. It's not hard to change the lives of people. Paul and Silas show us this. So I'm talking about models and verses to live your life by. And I thought, I'm going to look up a few of mottos that Canadian universities have. These mottos are indicative of the character that the universities want you to represent while attending their school. And they want to inspire you to live this out after you leave. So I went through some of them. Now, there's quite a few, and they're very interesting. Brandon University. Their motto is, speak the truth in love. Crandall University, Christ is preeminent. Dalhousie, prayer and work. Kwantlen, through tireless effort, knowledge and understanding. McMaster, all things cohere in Christ. Memorial University of Newfoundland. I did find this one a little funny. Launch forth into the deep. Do you get it? They're in Newfoundland. They're right by the water. Launch forth. I found it funny. Mount St. Vincent University. Truth leads to God. St. Francis Xavier. Whatsoever things are true, based on Philippians 4, verse 8. Simon Fraser. We are ready. Trinity Western, a mighty fortress is our God. University of Calgary, I will lift up my eyes. Wonder where they got that from. University of Ottawa, God is the master of sciences. University of Saskatchewan, for God and country. Isn't it amazing how many universities in Canada have their mottos based on God and the Bible? There's many more, I just picked a few. So graduates, here's a challenge for you today. Find the motto of your school. See what it's based on and what it's asking you to live out. It's not hard to change the lives of people. Well, I'm not sure if you have heard of a man named Admiral William H. McRaven. He is a retired United States Naval Admiral who was asked to be the graduation speaker in 2014 at the University of Texas. And since then, he has since had this speech published in book form, and it's entitled, Make Your Bed. I saw it before Christmas, and I had asked it for as a Christmas present. And I'm telling you, there's no biblical references, but this is an excellent book. Good graduation gift, just saying. So he says that it's based on little things in life that can change your life and maybe the world. And the premise being that making your bed also reinforces the fact that little things in life matter. Now, I know I have captured all the moms in the room. The title is Make Your Bed. Graduates, don't roll your eyes about making your bed. It's important. This book has become a number one New York Times bestseller, so it has something valid to say that people are listening to. In the book, Admiral McRaven shares 10 principles that he learned during Navy SEAL training that helped him overcome challenges not only in his training and long naval career, but also throughout his life. He explains how anyone can use these basic lessons to change themselves and the world for the better. So in 2014, he started his graduation speech at the University of Texas with their own motto, and it's this. What starts here changes the world. That's hope. I like it. It's a great school motto. It gives hope for our future. And as you go on, Admiral McRaven spoke about a quote that he had found from the website ask.com. And I want to share this quote with you and its analysis. Now, it says, the average American, or we're going to say Canadian, because we're kind of alike, sort of. The average Canadian will meet 10,000 people in their life. Okay. So if we have 8 high school students graduating from Spa Church, okay, I know all your math geeks are getting ready to do something, okay. So if each grad changed the lives of just 10 people, that's similar, just like what Jesus did with his disciples, but it was 12. Okay, and each one of those changes the lives of another 10, and another 10, and another 10, and another 10. Do you know what happens in 5 generations? In 125 years, these eight people, okay, if the math is correct, they have changed the lives of 800,000 people. That's a big church. Let me read that again. In 5 generations, if you touch 10 people and change their lives, 10 people, that's it, 10. What's going to happen? 800,000 people are going to be affected for Jesus. Hallelujah! Amen. Andy, hallelujah. History maker numbers are going to go up. It's amazing. Okay, what about us as a congregation? Let's just say there's 300 people here, okay? If we do the same multiplication over 125 years or 5 generations, Pastor Wes, then the 300 people that are here today can potentially change the lives of 30 million. I'm glad you're sitting down because you don't seem as excited as I am. 30 million people! Let's turn to Matthew, the Great Commission. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. all those 10 people and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is living out the Great Commission, and this is why it's important that those 8 do the math, that these 300 people do the math, because 30 million people could be affected by what your choices are today, folks. So what are we waiting for? That neighbor that you say, I'm going to get around to talking to about the Lord. Or that Starbucks barista, because we know y'all go. That Starbucks barista that greets you and is nice to you each morning. That co-worker who discusses religion with you, but you're shy to tell them what you really believe. Or what about that family member that really needs your prayers? And what about that ministry that you want to be part of, but say, you know what, I'm just too busy right now. It's a really busy time for me. And what about that best friend who constantly swears in front of you, and you never say anything? And what about your own life? You say you'll read your Bible and pray tomorrow, but do you? There's always time for anything that you deem important. So I ask you, is Christ really important in your life? 30 million people are hoping that you deem it so. If you think it's hard to change the lives of people, I'm sorry, you're wrong. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Come on, you know it. But of power and of love and a sound mind. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and faith and conduct and in purity. Jesus never left us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be with us at all times. And with the Holy Spirit comes empowerment, comes courage, comes strength, comes brave. But Pastor Nicole, it gets difficult. Yeah, it does. But what about when the obstacles come? What about the challenges in life that when they start closing in? What about my anxieties? What if I fail? Grads, what about that course of study that just seems too much? Ooh, I'll never pass. It's just too hard. What about the cost of school? The bills, they start mounting, and the student loans become so much. Well, interesting. In this book, Make Your Bed, Admiral McRaven's graduation speech, it's posted on YouTube if you ever want to go see it, and I encourage you, it's excellent. I downloaded part of chapter 6 that I think is going to help answer some of these questions. Not sure if it's going to work from here, but if not, we'll go from the back.
At least twice a week, the trainees were required to run the obstacle course.
Can we turn it up?
The obstacle course contained 25 obstacles, including a 10-foot wall, a 30-foot cargo net, a barbed wire crawl, to name a few. But the most challenging obstacle was the slide for life. It had a 3-level, 30-foot tower at one end and a 1-level tower at the other. In between was a 200-foot long rope. You had to climb the 3-tiered tower, and once at the top, you grabbed the rope, swung underneath the rope, and pulled yourself hand over hand until you got to the other end. The record for the obstacle course had stood for years when my class began in 1977. The record seemed unbeatable until one day a student decided to go down the slide for life head first. Instead of swinging his body underneath the rope and inching his way down, he bravely mounted the top of the rope and thrust himself forward. It was a dangerous move, seemingly foolish and fraught with risk. Failure could mean injury and being dropped from the course. Without hesitation, the student slid down the rope perilously fast. Instead of several minutes, it only took him half that time. And by the end of the course, he had broken the record. If you want to change the world, Sometimes you have to slide down the obstacles head first.
If you want to change the world, you must dare greatly. Slide down the obstacle first, head first. It's a slide for life. All of us are on it. Life has risks. Life has hesitations. It has unbeatable odds at times. And you need to be brave, and you need to know Jesus. You need to know your word. You need to trust the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you need to dare greatly. The world needs you. The world needs Jesus. And we need to invest in people and in their lives. Think about that multiplication factor of 10. And what could happen in 5 generations for Christ if you and 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 you, all of us, what is that impact on Spa Church? What is that impact on the church worldwide? 10 people. Dare greatly. Slide down the obstacle head first. We got to get out there. We got to give it everything we've got. We got to give our time to it. We got to make time for God. We got to give of our talents. We got to work at the ministry. We got to give our prayers. Pre-service prayer could use a few more people. And we got to give our lives to this. Now, not to embarrass one more time, but graduates, could you please stand? Wherever you are. They're all over. They look great. Today, here's what I talked about. Number one, it's not hard to change your life to make room for God every day. Make that a priority. If you haven't already, read your Bible every day. Pray every day as fast and as slow and as much as you can. Find fellowship. Find the Christian University find the university's Christian group. Meet some Christian friends. It's not hard to change the lives of people. You can do it. Some of you have been doing it for quite a long time already. If you want to change the world, you must dare greatly. Slide down the obstacles head first. So when those anxieties and those worries and those stresses and those obstacles come, take it to God. Trust Him. Get wisdom from your parents. Get wisdom from your pastors. Get wisdom from your professors. God put those people in your life for a reason. The question today for you is, are you willing? Now, congregation, we've addressed the graduates today with some tough and rough stuff. But now it's our turn. So can you all stand? And I'm going to remind you of the same things that I've just talked about. Number one, it's not hard to change your life to make room for God every day. Talk to Him. What are the things that you need to improve on? What are the things that the people maybe that you need to be speaking with? What are the things that He's talking, His Holy Spirit is whispering in your heart and saying, you need to do this. You need to work on this. It's not hard to change your life. Make room for God. It's not hard to change the lives of people. Yeah, it's time. You ready? Step out in faith. He is there to catch you. He is there to help you. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you. He is your righteous right arm. He is there. You can change people. And if you want to change the world, dare greatly. Slide down the obstacles head first. You can do it. you bow your heads with me? Dear Lord, I pray today that you won't let this obstacle course of life beat any one of us ever. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to overcome our anxieties and be brave and courageous. Let us trust in your leading. Let us be thoughtful and well-planned, and may we take risks and dare greatly. And Lord, may we take these next few moments to pray and talk to you now about where we are at with you and where you want us to be. And Lord, may we all do this before we leave. Amen. I'm going to ask if you just have a seat for a minute. We have a special video that we're going to show. And then when the video's done, I'm actually going to ask that everybody stay seated for a moment. We want our graduates to go and stand at the tables on this side. There's an autograph book there. And maybe you don't know all of the graduates, or maybe you know one. I encourage you to just go, and even if you write your favorite verse, encourage them. You know what? I'm praying for you. If you know them personally, write a little note of encouragement. We want to help them along the way so that they can look back and see that, you know what? They're not alone. That we as a congregation love them and support them, and we want to bless them today with that. So I direct your eyes to the screen, and as soon as it's over, we're going to sing, and there we go.
Hey. Hey. You did it. From kindergarten until now. Muscling your way through every hard moment, climbing your way up all the mountains that looked too high. You've got a lot to be proud of. You were asked for some inner strength along the way and steady character in challenging circumstances. So here you are, leaving your senior year behind, at the edge of new beginnings, a step toward fulfilling new dreams. So as you go, keep a few things in mind. Don't let others get the best of you. You control your emotions, not other people. Life is about more than making money. It's about making memories. It's about making God famous. And don't forget to call your parents. They worry about you. And remember, you are a treasured life. God formed you out of dust for such a time as this. He lights a path for you and holds you in His hands. May you follow the path God has set before you. May doors be opened before you and roadblocks disappear. And may you always be reminded that nothing is impossible with God.